Hello, dear friends. This episode of Truth, Salt, and Spice will definitely be filled with a whole lot of truth and a lot of spice. This past week with the girls at the orphanage has been kind of trying. It's trial and error, of course, and we're trying to implement something new with the girls, and learning a whole new language is just hard. I'm doing some tweaking. I'm going to be going later this morning to a school supply place and coming up with different activities to continue teaching them some English and continue having fun. It definitely has mostly been fun, some frustrating things, but some girls are a little more difficult in behavior. So ironically, I am reading a book I have mentioned before, Boundaries in Marriage, by Doctors Cloud and Townsend. And there's this one little girl that gets mad and likes to lift her fist. She is just a little gorgeous little girl. So, of course, she looks ridiculous. Because even if she tried, she just can't even look mean. But so the first couple of times I just kind of engaged in her and kind of like roared and toward her and turned it kind of into a game. But I didn't want her to get used to that. And something I read in this book made me do something different. So the next time she got mad at me and kind of came up with this fist, and I just looked at her and said, you know what? I don't like being treated that way. And I'm not going to talk to you or play with you when you do that. And I walked away, and I think it knocked her socks right off. So that's been helpful, and we've really bonded. She's becoming more and more loving and seeking positive attention, and she likes to be cuddled and kissed, and it's just wonderful to see such an innocent child seek pure love. So I've been encouraged by that, and there are some other girls that have grown in those ways as well. So it's been really good for my heart to see that. So what was one thing I wanted to share? Oh, this week I have these girls in the afternoon that we do tutoring, and then I teach English too as well. And they like to kind of laugh at each other when they say things wrong, or, you know, I'm having them repeat it. I'm trying to get them to enunciate things as correctly as possible so that they don't create, you know, bad habits. But they, you know, as kids do, they like to laugh when they sound funny or don't get it right. And so, you know, I did kind of have a little quick, serious conversation. I said, you know, I don't, you're all learning this and you're not going to do it right. That's just how it is. I do expect you to try your best, but you're not going to get it right, and that's okay. It makes my heart happy just for you to try, and that's all I expect from you. And that really kind of set the tone. And immediately my thought was, wow, isn't God like that with us? Like, he knows we're not going to be perfect. But we're to try. We're to try to put in effort into growing, growing, you know, closer to him and allowing him to shape us into whom he created us to be, right? And that leads me straight to something I read in this marriage book this morning. It says, A faithful spouse is one who can be trusted, depended upon, and believed in, and one in whom you can rest. And of course, that led me to think about that scripture, which Jesus says to give him his burdens, because he will give us rest, which I am still have been just struggling with for a long time, in the concept of, you know, what does that even mean? So I was talking to a friend on the phone. We were FaceTiming, actually audio FaceTiming this morning, and talking about this book and different processes. And I'll share with you in a little bit where I got to in the middle of that conversation, which was really good for my journey. But there was something else that caught my attention. I tend to have this habit that sometimes I'll read things or sing a song or watch a movie, and, you know, I look into the spiritual context of it, even if it wasn't meant for that. You know, this book is talking about marriage, but there's a chapter in here, it's chapter 11, talking about holiness. And it says every marriage place If every marriage placed value on holiness, the following would be present. But, you know, I was thinking of my relationship with God. If I placed value on holiness, it would be a confession and ownership of the problems in each individual, which would be mine, a relentless drive toward growth and development, a giving up of everything that gets in the way of love, in my love between myself and God, a surrendering of everything that gets in the way of truth, and a purity of heart where nothing toxic is allowed to grow. And when I read that, my heart kind of sank, because I know there are things in there now that are not clear, that are not present in my relationship with God. And then part of it then was just like, but this is very tangible, and I like things to be tangible, and there are things that can change and grow. And so as I was talking to my friend, Pam, and I've mentioned her before, I think, my BFF Pam, or Pamela, I remember we were talking, gosh, what did she say? I was just talking about owning, you know, my part in this debacle that I call marriage now. When she said something about Jesus, everything, just the scales just fell off my eyes, and I was able to see clearly the problem. You know, I started crying, and I said, I know now what the problem is. Oh, it was about trusting Jesus. And I said to her, I said, this is the problem. I prayed specifically for what type of marriage and man I wanted when I was single. I didn't even want to get remarried. He failed me. Like, I can't. He hasn't given me rest. It took me a long time to even record this episode, because I am very respectful of the person, of my husband, and I don't want to badmouth him. It's just not honoring. He's not here to say his part or defend himself, so this isn't going to become this bashing of my husband. It's tricky to be able to say my part without kind of bringing it in, and so I'm going to try to be as honoring as possible with this part of it. But marriage, it's not like, you know, everything was great, and then with time, you know, we kind of grew apart. Things have just been hard from the get-go. It's just been really hard, and I don't think I realized that I really have been just angry at Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about you, because your burden has not been light, and your burden has not been, it's not what I've asked for. And I think subconsciously I've just been like, I really don't want much to do with you. I like this God over here, but you, I don't know about you. And so that's, I guess the work starts there now. Because when I was reading here about the holiness part, the last one here is purity of heart where nothing toxic is allowed to grow. And I have allowed bitterness and resentment to grow, and it's gone from Jesus and then spilled, you know, down to my husband. And, you know, it's killed me inside, really. And that's on me, because I've allowed it to, I fed it and nurtured it and allowed it to grow. And that has gotten in the way of surrendering to the way of truth. And I've allowed myself to not go in the way of truth when it comes to that part of my life. Giving up everything that gets in the way of love. I have not given up my self-focusedness, self-centeredness, and just holding on to my wound and my hurt, and not really, well, you really can't work on what you don't know. And I just didn't realize that that's what I was doing until this morning. It just came to me that's what I've been doing. So now I can do better, right? And now I'm confessing and owning the problem that is. So yeah, I feel a lot. It was very hurtful to realize that this morning. And but now I feel hopeful. I feel hopeful that I can work on it and move on. I don't know what it's going to look like, but goodness, it can only go up from here, because I've just been in the dumps for so many years. A relentless drive toward growth and development, and that I am. I am a person that likes change. I like to move forward. I like growth and development. So I really just am looking forward to this hard, painful journey. Because hard work, it won't kill me. the bitterness and resentment was. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm sitting here staring at this volcano. It's funny because I was looking at her and this morning and staring and thinking, you know, people come to her and cultivate and plant and harvest on her. They hike her like I did, almost killed me, and sit there in her crater. She's admired. She evokes strength and she doesn't do anything but just sit there, and she's kind of inanimate. I mean, really, she's just a volcano, a mountain. And I hear, you know, I'm totally personifying her. You know, how does one do that? Just sit and be a pillar of strength without doing a thing and allow people to draw life from her. So there's that. I don't know that I have anything else to add to this. I wanted to say, even if you have a great marriage, buy this book, and I'll tell you why. Because then you can actually recommend it to friends of yours, or even help friends of yours, or even have a tool in your back pocket should your marriage start getting a little rocky. It is a really, really good book. Again, Boundaries in Marriage by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Understanding the Choices That Make or Break a Loving Relationship. Make or Break Loving Relationships. And if your marriage is could use some improving, tweaking, or if it's like mine that is just on life support, I really recommend you use it. It's really, really, really good. It's has a lot of scriptures in it, so it's faith-based. It's focused on honoring each other. It's really, really good. So I can't recommend it enough. I know I haven't talked much about the Enneagram, and I know it's this new fad or whatnot, but it has been really actually eye-opening for me. And I'll be talking more about it probably in the near future, and what I like about it, what it's doing for me, and the growth that I've even been able to have since having that tool. Because it's a tool. It's not a replacement for Christ. It's not a replacement for God. It's not God. But I think that any tool that you can use that draws you closer to God, and it is worth exploring. So that is all I have for you, my people, today. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. I see you. I see that you guys have been listening. And hey, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to message me on Facebook or comment on the page. You know where to find me. Have a blessed day, and may your day and your week be filled with truth, tons of salt, and your unique spice. Until next week.